In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of the divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray, O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint John Baptist de La Salle.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on the lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good evening, Father.
It's
taken from Matthew chapter 5, and the message is very clear, and is that all of us are called to be a light. We're called to be a light wherever we go. We're called to be a light for our family. We're called to be a light at our workplace. We're called to be a light with our friends. We're called to be a light on the freeway. So wherever we go, we're called to be a light. And so, given that we're in Lent, and I was thinking in 24 hours, we're already into Holy Week, right? Because it's already Saturday. So we're getting close to the holiest season of the year, which is Holy Week. So we're called to be a light. So let's ask, as we go deeper into God's mystery of love and mercy in the diary, too, that God will cast out the darkness from our minds, our hearts, our lives, so that we can be a burning lamp. Amen? Okay, good. That's a brief biblical commentary on Matthew chapter 5. Last week we spent a whole hour on number 58. Okay? And it was basically a commentary which I felt one of the most enigmatic, kind of surprising numbers in all the diary. If you remember last week, we were talking about purgatory, and we thought that this nun that came back to St. Faustina, we thought that she was in hell. That was my thought the first time I read it, and that was, I think, the thought of many of us, because praying for her, she was getting worse and worse. And also, St. Faustina said, are my prayers helping out? Not at all. Well, okay, basically, St. Faustina said, well, get lost, don't bother me anymore, right? And she asked, do the community prayers help out? And she said, no, well, get out of here, start bugging me, no? So she kept praying for her, and then she appeared, and she was radiating light, and she had a smile on her face, and she was almost in heaven. So, kind of make a long story short, pray for the souls in purgatory. Okay? Pray for the souls in purgatory. Possibly the worst person that you ever knew, you know. Okay. very end of his or her life, he could have turned to God and be saved. So I'd like to tell one last story in this, then we'll move into another number. If any of you ever read the Life of the Curé of Ars by Abbé Trochu, Tan Publishers? Surprise, such a highly erudite group as this, if I can use a literary term. That's the best one written. It looks like a big brick, and it's about 400 pages, but half of it are footnotes, okay, so you can get through it pretty quickly. And the font isn't 12, but the font is about 18, okay? Well, I'll tell you one story from that. There was a woman who had her husband threw himself off the bridge. So he killed himself. And the woman came in to the Curé of Ars, worried about the salvation of her husband. You know what he said? Hey, in between the bridge and the water, he made a perfect act of contrition. So he's in purgatory. It's a great story. But sometimes we as priests, we deal with suicides. It's becoming more and more common, sad to say. Not only in Palo Alto, California, but in Hawaiian Gardens, a couple of years ago, we had a guy that hanged himself over the bridge, and so we've got suicides in this little city of ours, too. So, in between the bridge and the water, what happened? Jesus' mercy. Saved. Just a matter of a movement of the heart. A movement of the heart toward the love of God. Well, that's enough to get us into purgatory. Well, one last thing I'd like to say is before you go to bed, it's a good idea to examine your conscience. If you have committed a serious sin, try to make a perfect act of contrition. That restores you to the grace of God. You hear me?
Yes.
So if you have had the disgrace of falling into mortal sin, You can't always tackle a priest. You can't always do that. No. I got up to say the 6:15 Mass, and there were 20 people on my confessional line. They didn't turn the light on because I didn't want to attract attention. But we can't always track down a priest at every moment. So you can learn how to make a perfect act of contrition. And that is you're moved by the love of God. So if you say the act of contrition, the traditional one, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry, most of you have that memorized. If you say that with sincerity, you've made a perfect act of contrition. Okay, is that clear? Very important that you know that. And very, very few Catholics know that. That I think my mother taught me when I was 7 years old, and I have got a pretty good memory. I never forgot it. The importance of teaching children their catechism when they're small. Okay? And I don't think I've ever met a lay person that told me that yet in 30 years, because we just have to be catechized better. Okay, so let's can pass out the sheets. And we've moved to number 59, moving as he says, Paso de Omega. Paso de Omega would be snail's pace in English. Okay. Paso de Omega, instead of a snail's pace, the way an ant walks in Spanish. Okay. Paso de Omega, no? Yeah, I'm going to speak Spanish here. Paso de Omega would be, how does an ant walk? Not like a panther. For a cheetah, Or even Father Broom, no? You go very, very slow. So if you have your diary, it's the number 59. It's what follows 58. Mm-hmm. You have it? Okay, I'm going to read, and I want to make a comment on, especially on one word, maybe two words. A little bit of historical context. That's during the Cristeros. Some Mexicans here? That's the Cristeros. Also, that's the time of the big economic depression. Okay? A little bit of world history. 1928 to 32, 33. That's when you had the stock market crashing here in the country and the economic depression. My mother was 2. My dad was 5 years old. Okay? 1933. It's when Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth were playing baseball too, if you want a little bit of sports, okay? My grandmother couldn't stand Babe Ruth because she lived in Detroit, Ty Cobb. On one occasion, I heard these words in my soul. Make a novena for your country. The novena will consist of the recitation of the litany of the saints. Ask your confessor for permission, probably Father Sopochko and Father Andras. Okay, there's just a few words there, but for me that says a lot, so I'd like to kind of go through it, and let's, and God willing, we'll move on to 60. Okay, I heard, on one occasion, I heard these words in my soul. If you're really living your faith, you're going to be hearing God speak to your soul. These are called interior locutions. I mentioned this over the past 6 months. Interior locution is when God speaks to your soul. You're baptized. You're confirmed. You live in the state of grace. Who's within you? Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis, The Great Divorce. There's no divorce in God. Where the Father is, you've got the Son. Where the Son is, you have the... Where the Holy Spirit is, you've got Mary. So if you're not bombarded by noise 24/7, God will speak to you. So this week, be more attentive during Holy Week to God speaking interiorly. God speaks to us. Now, you might say, well, also the devil speaks to us too. Well, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Okay? That's why you have to have Ignatian discernment, right? How do you know the difference? One spirit leads you to God, the other one leads you away from God. the best general interpretation of the rules, no? And one you leads you to God, the other one's going to be leading you away from God. Did you think these words, make a novena, would come from the good spirit or the bad spirit? But not only a novena, but a novena for what? For your country. You're skipping something, eh? Don't jump the gun, okay? It says litany for your country, right? Think that might come from the good spirit? Or that come from the devil? Okay. We all know what's going on in the world, in Syria, in Russia, and all. We were following the news at least a little bit, right? I think maybe God might be asking some of us to make a novena for our country? Hello?
Yes.
Well, try to apply this to yourself. Okay, Saint Faustina, she had a lot of problems, you know, the Second World War, the First World War, you had, you know, Hitler came in and then he left, and then Stalin came into Poland, and that happened during the lifetime of Faustina. But we're living in probably more perilous times than the time that Faustina lived. I don't think anyone here ever made a novena for our country. Except one, or two. Okay, we got a couple that made a novena for our country, and I think that's good. Not because I'm an American or because I live here, but I think that this country is very important. Very important. The 300 million people that live in this country, more or less, no? What would happen if all the people in this country decided to become saints? No? Well, we can pray for that, right? And in a week from today, we're going to be making the most famous modern novena. Right. This is Friday. Next Friday is Good Friday, right? Yeah. Don't we start it that day? Well, even though St. Faustina did not place one intention to pray for the United States, I mean, there's no reason why we can't add that within one of those intentions. You know, there's a certain virtue I think that we've lost, the virtue of patriotism. You know what the Holy Father John Paul II said to the Argentinians? Amada vosha patria. Amada vosha patria. Speaking in Gallego Espanol, Spanish from Spain. The Mexicans would say, amana a su patria, right? Love your country. This is after the Malvinas, no? Falkland, remember that? They had an identity crisis back when I arrived in 86. Love your country. I think we should love Vietnam and the Philippines, and I think we should love Mexico, but we should love this country too. Amen or me?
Amen.
I deserve an amen, huh? So, love our country. I tell you something that could give you a lot of consolation. On Monday I was talking to my mother on the phone and had a really good conversation. She said, son, you know, they're going to be canonizing Jacinta and Francisco. Hey, great. Then she said, did you know, May 12th, that the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Fatima is going to be in the United Nations. Oh. I almost fell off my chair. May 12th through May 13th. I didn't say St. Patrick's Cathedral. There's a difference, right? United Nations promotes abortion, Planned Parenthood, transgenderism, homosexuality. No, it's the center of paganism. That's a sign of hope. Isn't it? Never thought in a million years that the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Fatima in the 100th anniversary would enter in the Big Apple, the very center of the promotion of paganism. If not paganism, just Sin City. Maybe that's because a lot of people in this country are praying and they are making novenas. Yes?
There's this rosary that for the United States, each of the Hail Marys has a state's name on it, and it has a flag in it. So
that's a good idea. How many states in the how many states in this country?
50.
Ah, there are 50. That's right. How many beads in the rosary? Ah, I like that very much. Yes. That's great. And then you have to have 51 would be Puerto Rico, and 52 would be the District of Columbia, Washington, right? I think we can add the extra three, right? A little tail, huh? La Colita, huh?
Guam.
Guam also. Wine gardens, too. Wine gardens, huh? Famous for three things, right? The casino, Cholos, and St. Peter Chanel. Yeah, let's novena for your country. Let's talk a little bit about novena. More than once in the diary, you're going to see that our Lord is going to ask her to pray novena. And I think that we have to go back and recover a lot of our past good traditions. I'm sure your Italian grandmother probably prayed a lot of novenas, to St. Anthony, San Antonio, or Our Lady of Loreto, if you were from the South, maybe some saint from Palermo, no? That's the way it used to be. You'd ask your grandparents, if they came from Mexico, probably prayed a lot of novenas. That's just the way it was 100 years ago. Whereas you ask young people today to say novena, they say, what the heck is that? They don't know what it is. So Jesus, more than once, tells St. Faustina, pray novena. Pray novena. So I hope all of you starting on next Friday that you'll make the novena. Will you?
Yes.
And try to get your whole family to do it. Try to get, maybe bring the novena pamphlet to work and give it to your colleagues, no? Give it to your colleagues and say we start the novena today, and maybe they'll start to pray with you, okay? So some of them are not Catholics. Well, maybe they're potential Catholics, right? Every non-Catholic is a potential Catholic. Is that true? Could be, depending upon our prayer and our example. Could be. Okay, novena. Okay, what does novena mean? In Spanish, it's novena. So what novena is, it means nine. So I'll try to give in this talk a lot of ideas on the novena and see if we can recover within ourselves the importance of the novena. Now, I'm not saying the novena is more important than the Holy Mass, or I'm not saying it's that, but it is important. Otherwise, Jesus would not have told us to say many Navinas, or at least several Navinas, during the course of this diary that we're reading. So it means nine. Okay, Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read it now, but I'll just summarize it. Acts chapter 2 is probably the most famous as well as the most powerful Navina in the history of the world, my humble opinion. And it was, took place 2,000 years ago. It took place right after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The place of this Navina was the cenacle called the Upper Room. Who was present in the Navina with Peter, James, Andrew, Matthew, Philip, Bartholomew, James the Less, Jude, and the Blessed Mother. What did they do? You can read it later on. They prayed. They're in silence. They fasted. Then after 9 days, do any of you know what happened after 9 days? There was fire, there was wind, there was something that was like an earthquake. You hear it? You hear that? That's you heard it. You heard it. Thank you very much, Father Dave. Well synchronized, okay? Did you know that Father Dave was out there synchronizing his fireworks with my talk? That's called teamwork, right? That's called synchronization, huh? The perfect timing, wasn't it, huh? You had these men who a few days earlier were cowards. They were cowards. They ran away from the cross. Would you have done the same thing? Raquel? Hmm? Oh, yeah? At least you're on, I think I would probably run the 100 and about 9.1, okay? Probably would have broken a record, no? Because they knew what a crucifixion was. Living in that culture, they knew what a crucifixion was. It could have been nails, could have been ropes, the cross could have been a bigger one or smaller one. They didn't have wood the way they had in California. Wood was a scarcity back in Jerusalem at that time. But they did have trees that they utilized to make crosses. Once they finish this novena, there is a radical, and I say a radical transformation. If you're looking at me with cynical eyes, I'll try to take the cynicism off your look. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Read the rest of Acts chapter 2. Peter gets up and he gives a homily. Peter could not even say that Jesus was Lord a few days earlier. He gets up and gives a homily. 3,000 converts in one homily. Not bad, huh? Then he's going to give another homily and convert even more. So this man who became a coward, run away from the cross, denying Jesus 3 times, was able to get up and preach a homily in which many, many people were converted. It was because of that novena. That was the first novena of the Catholic Church. And it actually culminates on the birthday of the Catholic Church. When is the birthday of the Catholic Church? Pentecost. So, if you make a novena, could you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is getting weaker in time, becoming lethargic, kind of anemic, losing his power? You know, God never changes. God is immutable. That's the nature of God. If God were to change, that means He wouldn't be God, because God is perfect. We go from imperfect to less imperfect, okay, walking toward perfection. But the essence of God is, I exist and I am perfect. So, we could make the Divina and receive the same graces if we're open. But we have to be open. And we have to pray. We have to be with the Blessed Mother too. Okay. So, what about the prayers that we can say in a novena? Okay, take the novena of Divine Mercy. You've got 9 days, you've got 9 different intentions. That novena of Divine Mercy is a model for prayer of intercession. I think it's about the best you have out there. Any of you remember some of the intentions? Praying for the conversion of sinners. Praying for the souls in purgatory. Praying for the despairing. Praying for priests. Praying for religious. He said the worst class is praying for the tepid and lukewarm. Okay, praying for them. Praying for the fervent, that they'll become more fervent. Pray for those who promote divine mercy. Those 9 intentions are excellent. So I tell people, you don't know how to pray the prayer of intercession, just go through all of those. By the way, that novena comes out of the textbook that we're reading later on. That comes out, it's cut out from the textbook. So, there you have a model novena. However, novena simply means 9. So, in the novena, okay, say for example, I wanted to make a novena to the second reading today, Saint Fulgentius of Ruspe, probably one of your favorites, right? Read the second reading this morning, if you did. Well, Father Craig read it. Saint Fulgentius of Ruspe, I think that he's one of Christian's favorite saints, right? Maybe you didn't know he existed. Nobody's a great writer, okay? I could make a novena to him, or I could make a novena to Saint Anthony. And we think this way, okay, the novena has to be 9 days before Lorenzo Ruiz, okay? The Filipino saint. It has to be 9 days before, otherwise it's invalid. Do any of you know the feast day of St. Francis de Sales or St. John Bosco? 21. Okay. 31. Okay, John Bosco was the 31st of January. Francis de Sales would be the 24th. Could I make a novena to St. John Bosco in the middle of July? Yes. Can't do that, can I? That would be invalid, though, right? They're on vacation upstairs. Right? They have a right to rest too, don't they? Rest from the hard labor, no? No, I'm being facetious. You can pray and make a novena to any saint, start any day of the year. You can. Maybe it seems to be most appropriate we start John Bosco, right on the feast day of Francis de Sales, and we end up on the 31st. But there's no reason why we cannot say it any time during the year. How about the novena of Divine Mercy? Okay, we start next Friday and we finish on Divine Mercy Sunday. Could you make that in January? How about starting in February? February 30th, we could start that day. What? Oh. I should know better. I'm the leap year boy, right? I should know better. So you can start in the Divina any day as long as the day exists, okay? How about if you don't make it, could you make a triduum? Mm-hmm. Anyone even know what a triduum is?
Yes, 3 days.
Okay, a triduum would be 3 days. So if you're not strong enough to make a Divina, you can make a triduum, huh? We go the whole way. The Navina could be 9 days in a row you pray the rosary. 9 days in a row you pray the chaplet. 9 days in a row you pray the rosary and the chaplet. 9 days in a row you say a certain prayer that has been composed by a saint in honor of Saint John Bosco. 9 days in a row you could say the Litany of the Saints. 9 days in a row you could pray the Litany of the Blessed Mother. 9 days in a row you could pray Psalm 51. 9 days in a row you could pray Psalm 1. 9 days in a row you're not going to pray Psalm 151 though, okay? Why not? There's only 150 Psalms, okay? So you can't do something that doesn't exist, okay? So you can make, the Navina can be, you know, a Navina could be this. Make a Navina to St. Anthony, 9 days in a row, say, St. Anthony, help me. Never thought about that, did you? You could. St. Anthony, pray for me and help me. You do that 9 days in a row. At the end of the rosary at 8:00 Mass in the morning, you can do that. So my point is, Navina can be much more extensive than what meets the eye. It means 9 days in a row. Okay, I'd like to tell you a couple of Navinas that I've created since I've come to St. Peter Chanel, if you give me permission. You know? It might be my own creativity. This past Saturday, I had 2 weddings. I think one of the couple was, I think, about 80 years old. Finally, they want to get married. Better late than never, right? I would like to get married at 80. At least I didn't even ask them about NFP. You younger ones don't know what that is, but you'll learn later, okay? Now we can skip. The other couple was a younger couple, and the girl was one of our confirmation students about 10 years ago. And she came with her 3 sisters. The 4 of them were in our confirmation class over the past 20 years. No? Now, I started off the homily like this. You know, I'd like to offer you a gift. I was looking, oh, Father Bloom, un regalo, Padre Generoso. They're all looking at what type of gift is this guy going to give. And they said, I can't give you money because I have a vow of poverty. Father Larry wouldn't allow that. But I'll give you the best gift I can. Starting tonight, and it was starting this afternoon, I'm going to make a Navina. Hey? Navina, huh? Novena, what's that mean? 9 days. Now, if you were getting married and you had a priest preaching to you, what would you like the priest to give you if it were a novena?
Yes.
scaring you, huh, Dana? You're falling apart. At the seams, huh? You're getting nervous, okay? We'll try to calm her down. Okay? Well, all of you are tongue-tied, as I can hear, by your absence of speech. I told them, starting today, every day for 9 days, I am going to be praying for you in my Mass. What do you think? Never heard a priest say that before, huh? Unless you've come to some of my weddings, huh? I got a lot of tricks up my sleeve, huh? Now, when I say that, if the couple is not distracted by so many things, sometimes you could have a better homily than Fulton Sheen, but no matter what you say, they're not paying attention. Because they're so distracted by so many other things. But when the couple is really attentive, I've seen them sometimes, because they recognize, hey, everyone's going to be giving me some material gift, but this is the only one in the whole place that has thought about offering us a spiritual gift. So, 9 days in a row, I offer what is called a secondary intention. You know what that is? Secondary intention means this. 9 days in a row, I'm going to be celebrating Mass in St. Peter Chanel. What about the Mass intention? People have already asked for that for six to nine months before ten. I cannot avoid saying that, having that intention. But how about a secondary intention? Can the priest have a secondary intention? How about a third intention? How about 100? Sometimes I feel I place so many intentions on the altar that altar's going to collapse. We'll have to get a new altar. Good. Is that good? You can place as many intentions on the altar as your heart desires. Many as you want. So, I offer them a novena in which I'm praying for them 9 days in a row. Now, a little bit of fundamental philosophy for you. First year when I was studying philosophy many years ago in the Angelicum, I remember we're talking about intentions, and one is what's called a virtual intention. Know what a virtual intention is, Olga? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you, okay? Raquel? No. Virtual intention is this. That moment, I made the intention to pray for them as a secondary intention 9 days in a row. What would happen if I made that intention the following day, I forgot that I made the intention, invalid? Now don't tell the couple now. This is a secret. Following 8 days, I totally forgot that I made that intention. Is it still valid?
Yes.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I remember the name of the girl, but the guy's name, I don't even remember what his name is. But still, I made the intention. That's called a virtual intention. So you could say, could you please pray for me tomorrow at your 6 p.m. Mass? You ask me now. I said, I will. I'm going to place you on the altar right now. But when I'm saying the Mass, I got so many things in my mind, my homily, and I'm kind of preparing my homily there. A person came in the sacristy and told me that their mother is dying. So I got all these things. Now, Before the 6:15 Mass, this lady rushed in the sacristy, pleaded prayer for this thing, and we're bombarded by so many people that have important things that they want to tell us. But even though, as soon as you ask me to say it, I will pray for you at the 6 p.m. Mass, you're already on the altar. Very important to understand that concept of virtual intention. You hear me? You understand it? Very important. Very important. So that one novena that I've done over the past few years, it's called the Newly Married Novena, done by Father Broom. Good idea? Now, can I expound upon that a little bit more? Say yes, Father.
Yes.
Okay, what I also do is this. There's that wedding, there's maybe 250 people. I mean, the church wasn't packed, but there was a lot of people there. I've got weddings where there's only three people almost, me, myself, and I, and a few more, okay? Just a, they say in Italian, quattro gatti, no? Just a few people. But there I saw a lot of young people in their early 30s, maybe late 20s. You know that generation? Most they've been absorbed by the world, right? You know, professionals, they're making probably some good bucks. Maybe they're driving Mercedes Benz, and maybe they got a nice house, and you know, those type of people. Enamored by American worldliness. You know those type of people. So what am I going to do with these type of people? I mean, they, you know, they're Catholics, but they're, I call them pagan Catholics. So try to get them to pray the novena too. Let's try to adapt to the people. I have to be like a chameleon, huh? You ever see a chameleon in the grass? There is changing according to the color of the turf. So I try to be a spiritual chameleon. They're not going to come to Mass every day for 9 days. The Italians do. Not going to work. These people, you think they're going to be praying the Rosary and the Chapel of Divine Mercy every day for 9 days? Think they're going to be reading Psalm 51? They haven't opened up the Bible in the blue moon. But I look at them with the tuxedos and these women with their exotic hairdos, no? How about if all of you for 9 days could pray a Hail Mary for that couple? That's huge. Because these people probably don't pray. If I can get them to say a Hail Mary for every day for 9 days, and you got 200 people there, what do you think? So you've got to be as simple as doves, but you've got to be as crafty as serpents. When I'm preaching and teaching, it's always PNF. What's PNF? Principle and Foundation, right? It's always, how can, I mean, these people, they're people to be saved, too. They're mostly, most likely heading in the wrong direction. They're enamored with worldliness. So I got my novena. They heard what I said. And there might be a couple of pious abuelitas there. You know what abuelita is?
Yeah.
Couple of abuelitas there. They might even do the Mass 9 days in a row. So that's it's called the pastoral marriage novena. I go the whole way. They can walk as fast as they can walk. It's a novena. Okay, let's take another one. You got doctors and psychologists here. When are people most vulnerable? I'll tell you. When your mother dies, when your father dies, hey, I was pretty vulnerable for a month or two. Pretty vulnerable. You know, the tears are coming, you know. Hold it back. You're in public. You're vulnerable when someone that you love dies, right? Now, that vulnerability can be used, if we know how to preach well, convert souls. Now is the time to go to confession and maybe offer your Holy Communion for your mother, your father. But what I do in funeral masses, I change gears a little bit, but I try to preach another novena. Say that Letia Lupe passed away, and pretty good person, very generous, loved to help the poor, loved to travel to Mexico to help out the poor people there, very generous. But, you know, she might be in purgatory. And I, you know, we hope she's in heaven, but she might be in purgatory. We talked about that last week for an hour, didn't we? Might be in purgatory. And you know, purgatory, I know a lot of priests like to say when people die, it was kind of those pious platitudes, those cliches, you know, she's in a better place, okay? She's no longer suffering. They're in a better place, no longer suffering. No? Father Groeschel was in the happy hunting ground. No? How do you know? Just in case. Now, just in case Lupe is not in heaven, why don't we make a novena? Now I tell them the novena could be, this is what I tell them, the novena could be, well, here you are in church. Yeah. Come to church 9 days in a row. And when we had Father Greg Stav and Father John Lyons, we had a pretty good team. I was usually the preacher, and they were on the left and the right. They were our confessors, and I would be pretty good in lifting those people to hit the line, no? Pretty good. Sometimes you have 50 people standing up and going to confessional. You say, might be in purgatory. And by the way, purgatory, there's fire there. There's a lot of suffering. Did you ever get burned? You know, and your Tia Lupe, she might not get out of purgatory until you go to confession and receive Holy Communion. I've seen half the church get up, really. So take advantage of people's vulnerability to save their soul. Franz Liguori would do it. John Bosco would do it. Colby would do it. Faustina would do it. And you can do it also. So that's one option. Your confession and receiving communion 9 days in a row. Well, if they're not going to do that, another novena. The rosary. In the Hispanic culture, I think in the Filipino culture, but the Hispanic culture, very, very common after the person dies to come together in families, right? Sometimes they eat a lot, okay? We like to mix the social with the spiritual, but often to pray the rosary 9 days in a row, that's really common. We got Hispanics here, isn't that true?
Yes.
Really common. Okay, promote it. And if you have half of them that live in Hawaiian Gardens, the other half that live in Camarillo, okay, let those in Camarillo come together, because there's five families that meet in one family 9 days in a row. Those from Hawaiian Gardens or Lakewood, okay, 9 days in a row, they're in Hawaiian Gardens or Lakewood, or Cerritos. Come together. and have the same time every day. 6 o'clock, start to pray the rosary. And then, after the rosary, okay, well, no one's in a hurry, let's pray the chaplet also. Now, what would be best? The best would be the chaplet, the rosary, and Mass and communion. Try to go for the best, the Ignatian Magis. But if these people will not do anything, at least if they can pray one Hail Mary every day for 9 days. See, what I'm saying is, you people who are making your holy hour, you've heard the call of the King already about 100 times. You've heard us talk about apostolic zeal. We have to be more proactive in evangelizing people. So a novena can be a very powerful tool. They say a very powerful tool to evangelize people. Right? Very powerful tool to evangelize people can be by means of the novena. So I've given you 2 creative novenas that I have composed in my pastoral work for the newlywed, and to praying for those who passed away. But I've said the extension of the novena can be almost anything, any prayer you want, but for 9 days. So in a week from today, that will be Good Friday. All of you will have the opportunity to make the novena of Divine Mercy, which culminates on the feast of all feasts, which is Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. I said Easter because Easter lasts 8 days. Do you know that? From Easter Sunday up until Divine Mercy, it's 1 day. What a beautiful way to prepare for Easter and Divine Mercy Sunday, making your novena. But you have to add one more intention, which is, I forgot what I said 55 minutes ago. As she prayed for Poland, we should pray for the United States. In the previous number, God was about to destroy Poland. He decided he would not destroy Poland for one reason. What was that reason? The reason was one person. Who was that? Because of the prayer of one holy person, a country was saved from destruction. Now, 420, 125 people here tonight. You have your arms lifted up like Moses. Remember the Amalekite battle? The Israelites won the battle when Moses had his arms uplifted. Maybe go into your room tonight and do that for 25 minutes. Not going to last. So Moses had to have who? Her, right, and Aaron. So all of us are called to have those arms lifted up in prayer, in the novena, and of course our Holy Communion, our devotion to Mary, for the sake of our country as well as the sake of the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Saint Faustina Kowalska, Saint Ignatius, all the angels and saints, may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. So next week we will not have class because it's Good Friday, okay? So we'll see you in 2 weeks, okay? God bless you.